Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Here to encourage you, with me, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
I want you to be so encouraged. Know that God is with you. The reason why you're hearing maybe a lot of negative things and some sad things happening in the world today, know that the enemy is trying to create some whole momentum of negative in us. But I got a positive word for you, that our God is in control. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. You're listening to the Extra Hour. Joining me to negate the negative is John Ramos.
Hello.
And Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's the excitement that you guys have that just make my day. You know, I'm able to it's being lifted up on a cloud. You know, the excitement that exhilarates from your words, and just, I'm just so, you know.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm being facetious.
Pat's not exciting? This is exciting. It's Pat. Get excited.
He's our programmer.
I am excited. Can't you tell?
He's the man that really, you know. He's the one that really knows something. How all this stuff works. I know. I mean, totally amazing. Anyway, he'll never find you.
Never find me.
I do want to say, you know, before we're talking about the wisdom moment today, you're in the extra hour of VFN radio, is the point of decision. We're at a point of decision. And the value choice and the men choice is always whatever. I mean, men are flawed. But the value choice, we're at a point. Dr. King's niece, Evita King.
Evita.
We'll have, hopefully Friday, an interview with her, because this is how the party system's over. Just step out. So the party is over. That's how she says. The party's over. And it's time for us to vote values. Every individual, you know, and if people align themselves with a platform that's against our values as a believer, we have to question them, why are you doing that? Because I really wanted to support you and vote for you, but I can't because you're against my values. And it's never been clearer when it comes to values. No, it's blurry when it comes to men. But I just see, you know, America, the American church, if you would, or America as a whole, but definitely the American church, that we have a clear choice that's put before us in regards to our values. In some areas it's clear, but when you're looking at on a national level, it's a clear choice of values. And I can't help but feel that God has set this moment up. We're at the top of Mount Carmel. We're being prophesied to by Elijah. We have Jezebel's prophets, and then you have Elijah, God's prophet. You know, and so you're there on this mountain, and everybody can see because it's on a mountain. You know, back then they didn't have television. Back then they didn't have all the technology. So for everybody to see it, it had to be on top of a mountain. So it's in clear view of anybody who's anybody. They're going to see a clear choice. And God wanted to bring Israel to a clear choice before he was going to do what he's going to do. And of course, there was a clear contrast. You had Jezebel, who, by the way, Ahab was the king, but Jezebel was one in leadership. And she had her prophets, which were false prophets, and she had all of her gods and his and Ahab's gods in regards to, you know, Dagon, Asherah, Baal, all these promiscuous gods that were supposedly, you know, god of the weather and all these different things that weren't gods at all, but that's what she was doing. And then you had the true God with God's values with Elijah, and he said the God that answers by fire is God. But he said this is something very important, and I think that's where we are right now as a nation. And, you know, Dr. King, what she said, and what you'll hear probably this week, is the party's over. And it should be over anyway. I mean, you're already sick of it anyway. Most people are just sick of it because there's part of you that goes, well, I like what this person stands for, but I don't like what they're tied to.
Right.
They're tied to a party system. And realize that if you go back and study the founding original tent and the founding of America and the Constitution, that we can have as many parties as we want to. It's these systems out here. And you'll be hearing really soon from John Paul Jackson, and we've heard it from others as well, that there's a third party that's rising up. And I really believe it's the party of Elijah, if you will. It's not a conservative party. It's a fear of God party. You know, it's not about taxes. It's about God. And whoever controls the money controls the vision. So when you talk about taxes, you're talking about where does the money get shifted to? We're going to transfer all the wealth to the government, and the government is leading this country, or are we going to keep the money in the hands of the citizens where the citizens lead it? You can say you lead all day long, sir, but if you give your paycheck every day to your wife and she determines where the money goes and she just gives you an allowance every day or every week, then she's the one. I'm not saying it's wrong or not in regards to if that's how you guys work something out, but you're not leading it. You're not leading it. And so if, in fact, that you're not aware of where your family's going and what's going on, then it would be wrong because God causes you to lead it. But, you know, some women are better than men at managing finances. But you still have a responsibility to know the direction of where things are going. Mm-hmm. And if we give money to a government to do something that we expected them to do and they don't do it, we just take the money back. Mm-hmm. We put in new leaders and say, we remove that tax, appeal it, and put it back in the hands of the people again. Well, if your right. family's going in the wrong direction financially, whoever's supposed to be leading that family, you know, needs to make those kind of decisions as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so and sometimes you give authority and lend authority, and sometimes you take authority back. But ultimately, if you're called to lead it, you're responsible for it. You'll mm-hmm. answer for it before God. And so we're at a clear point of decision right now in America. It can never be clear. We're like at the top of Mount Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can see this decision. Mm-hmm. And one of them, if you understand, if you haven't listened, maybe we'll make available on VFN TV. I just don't know yet in regards to zero tolerance, is understanding what Israel was dealing with during that day. People say, well, that was the Old Testament. No, go look at Revelation chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And he talks about a Jezebel spirit in Revelation chapter 2, talking about the church and dealing with it, sort of mm-hmm. following the teachings of Jezebel. And a whole nation was following that. And so at this point, there was a decision. It's a choice between, are you going to follow God? Are you going to follow Jezebel and Ahab's gods, small g gods?
Right.
And it was a clear decision. Mm. And so what Elijah said, he says, choose today. Choose today who you're going to serve. And right now, America, we are at that point. There couldn't be a choice, couldn't be any clearer in regards to our values. Our values is life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we believe you should not murder. When you read and understand the word of God about Moloch, which was one of Ahab's and Jezebel's false gods, it was the one god that God hated the most, was because they sacrificed children to this god.
Mm-hmm.
And we would call that, we have a different name for the death of a child.
Mm-hmm.
We call it abortion. God right. calls it the shedding of innocent blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, understanding that we are at a clear decision. We know that openly there's nobody hiding any agendas. And I really believe that God set this up for us. I think God is putting a clear choice before us. And we're all looking at the top of Mount Carmel. And he's saying, okay, do you want to mm-hmm. worship Moloch? Do you want to sacrifice your children? Do you want to say it's legal, not only legal to sacrifice children to the god of convenience and shed their blood through abortion, and we'll even pay for it with your money across the land. We'll collect money from all 50 states and we'll pay to have the child murdered in the womb?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want this other value that says we value life? We value all life. And we seek to sustain it, and it's for God to take life, not for a man to take life. So that's a clear choice when you're looking at values. Another value that's before us is marriage. You know, how do we see marriage? And this is where we have to really repent, because the church is, we got marriage all out of whack in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so personally in the church, it's clear. Do you think, you know, marriage should be as God designed it to be? And do you think that it should be one woman and one man married in family, and families defined as their children?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think marriage could be between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, and family could be anything that you make it?
Right.
Listen, there is no blurriness here. There is no, I couldn't really figure it out. You're looking right. on the top of Mount Carmel right now, and God has made a clear decision before you. And I truly believe that people that are right now before us, are God is using them to put a clear choice before us to see what we as, quote, Israel or God's people will do in regards to this clear choice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing you what's wrong, and I'm showing you what's right. You know, you're going to have to choose today who you're going to serve. And when you look in regards to the choice is clear, is do you think government is God? Do you think that you need to have a government like everybody else has a government? You know, socialism, communism, Marxism, where the government provides all your needs? Or do you believe that God can provide for you? That do you want to have a government by and for the people, and that it serves at the desire of the people who are ruled by God they acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The freedom. Freedom only comes with a moral society. Mm-hmm. And so you got to say, I cannot have freedom and be immoral. Mm-hmm. I have to decide. Our laws have to be moral. We have to seek God's grace to live a moral life. And we have to begin to make clear decisions to do things that's the only way you can keep a free nation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it goes on and on. We're looking at Mount Carmel. This is the clearest choice. And this is a decision point. And free yourself from the concept of thinking you have to, because, you know, once you're at the main election, it doesn't matter what party anybody's in. You can vote for anybody at that point. It's just the primaries are limited to who you would vote for. And don't look at the party system as much as look at the people and write down what's important to you. And write down what these people, who they are, each person you have to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Then write out columns. How do they feel about this? And then you write it down. How do they feel about this? And write it down. How do they feel about this? And write it down. How do they feel about this? These clear choices, not money in your pocket. How do they feel about the baby in her womb?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? About the clear choices. And then on the right side, start another column and says, what does God say about these things? And then clearly make a choice for God to the best of your ability. Realize it was Elijah was a man just like everybody else was a man. And Jezebel was a woman and Ahab was a man. I mean, these are people. But realize God was allowing these things to take place through human beings to be able to cause us to be put in check to find out who we're going to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about supporting a candidate. It's about supporting God. It's about doing what's right before God.
Mm-hmm.
It's about choosing. And everybody knew if we didn't choose Jezebel, it was going to be ruthless.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be fierce.
Mm-hmm.
So fierce that even the man that told him to choose is going to run.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But understand, if you die and you're a believer, you win.
That's right. Yeah.
You win. But listen, this choice, we're in a couple weeks away from an election that'll determine who's going to send your sons to war. Mm-hmm. Who's going to send your daughters to war or not to war? Who's going to go, oh, this is just a bump in the road, even though your son is dead.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a Libyan embassy where they're blaming other things on other people. They're going, ah, that's an acceptable loss. But that's 3,000 of our sons and daughters.
Right.
That's your fellow comrade. What happened to empathy? What happened to value of life? Listen, if we don't value life in the womb, it won't be long for we're not going to value life in the elderly. And then we want to value life in the context of like, are you limping? Oh, my goodness. No, I'm not limping. I'm not limping. You'll find out that they'll start, you know, doing exactly like what spirit was on the Nazi party. They begin to say, we just need to purify the race. If we're going to take care of people, we need to cleanse the race from all this, the people from all this handicaps and
sure. They're going to draw resources away from other people that could eventually provide to this government, to this society.
And they call it,
so they saw people as liabilities.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's only for the good of the masses.
Of course.
And then of course, if they were the ones fixing to be put out of their misery, they wouldn't think that way.
Sure. Or if it was their mother or their child.
Exactly. It's amazing. And so when you turn to government, it always ends up that way, by the way. And so then we're going to have a death panel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we need to rethink. We need to rethink how we take care of the poor. Listen, I think the church is horrifically wrong. But I don't think the replacement for our repentance is the government taking it.
Right.
I think we just need to repent
and
rethink poverty and go to the VFN Torch. And you get there at VFNTV.com and just type in poverty, the poor. We need to rethink this. And you can't have some bumper sticker speaking against healthcare when we are robbing from God. 97% of us are robbing from God. And if we're robbing from God, we're definitely not giving to the transient or the homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up the street. And so we got to rethink this. But that's how we do it. We pray about it. We seek God and we repent. We don't all of a sudden have government come in and replace that.
Mm-hmm.
And so a clear decision is being, this is, and we're only like weeks away. I don't know, 20 days away or whatever it is now. It's going to be November the 6th. And this is like it. This is like it. You know, this is the momentum. And as soon as you see this choice made, and I can't tell you, you know, Elijah didn't know what choice people were going to make.
Right.
And God was allowing people to make whatever choice they were going to make. And he allowed all the false prophets and all the people to do what they do and cut themselves and dance around their things and call down their gods and all this kind of stuff. I mean, he didn't stop any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to give a contrast between what craziness is this, what craziness is this, and how right is God's ways.
That's right.
And so, listen, we're going to be held accountable for the choices we make in our values. People are clearly saying, I want the right to be able to end the life of my child in the womb at whatever point I want to. By the way, and it's not just her child, it's the father's child and the mother's child.
Right.
And it's not just their child, but it's also God's child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's important, you know, when I hear you say values, it's important that we think about God's values and not necessarily our values. Because oftentimes I think people make a confusion. They're confused with that. They say, well, I'll just vote my values. No, don't vote your values. Vote God's values. Because, you know, you may be believing something and you may be holding something that's dear to your heart that's not necessarily reflective in God's word or reflective in what God feels is right. And so it's like we got to check all that stuff at the door and say, God, I'm going to vote with you in mind.
And that's exactly what, you know, I'm talking about. And I'm so glad you said that, John, because that's exactly what he's like, is that what you're, and it's amazing. Yeah. And people say, well, no, because, you know, my union was dues were cut. So I went ahead and like, what? Oh my goodness.
No.
Miscommunication here. That was Satan. You voted for.
Well, it concerns me that 18% of the church is actually reading the word of God. It's like, wait a minute. We've got some catching up to do here. We've got to really understand, and it's okay to get educated. It's okay to get wisdom. You know, you're maybe just coming back to God and you're wanting to know what the right thing to do is, and you're recognizing that it's important for you to exercise your right to vote. It's okay to get godly wisdom and godly counsel and to see out from God's word from yourself. If you don't know, if you don't have that perspective, it's okay to do that, because you're only going to get one chance to vote. We're about 20 days away. It's about 20 days away.
Wow. And think about this. There's somebody, you need to have somebody in your gathering, some people in your life that they're gifted in the area of, I mean, some people are gifted in this area, some people are gifted in that area, and openly acknowledge that person that we're counting on you to use your gifts to do the research behind these candidates so you can inform us of their value system.
Mm-hmm.
So we can find out and compare them. And, you know, you can't hold this person. You know, they're doing the best they can do, but at least you're researching it somewhat. That that you can meet with that person or call that person or Facebook that person or email those people and say, you know, have you done the research on these guys? Yes, I did, and this is what I found out, and this is how they voted, or this is what they're saying. And then it gives you an idea of how to be up, what their values are. I was really relieved when John Stemberger, when I saw what Jim Stemberger was putting together with his family, it's not Family Research Council. Pat, John, if you could pull that up, John Stemberger's. But he had a people that that they did all the research on the judges. So many people just automatically vote yes on all these judges that are.
They just automatically judge any which way. And so it's important that we actually get research. It's important that we actually
take
the
time. Well, it matters
how
the judges decide a case. If you're standing before a judge and somebody's falsely accusing you or somebody's coming against our value system, and you just vote that judge in, that's
right. It's
called the Florida Family Council.
Yeah. John Stemberger's group's called the, what is it?
Florida Family Policy Council.
Or it's called, the website is FIF Family. Yeah, make that available on the VFN Torch. Actually, it should be there on the VFN Torch anyway. But they, so they went and they did a study on the judges, and they watched the judges in Florida, and there's probably somebody in your state, how they voted, what was their values, and how they decided things. Everybody has a value system,
mm-hmm.
whether they're operating in it or not. And even though they may have a value system that says, you know, I go this way or go that way, they could have a greater value system called money or power or position that they choose that value over what they intricately know that what's right or wrong. And so John Stenberger is a great source for Floridians to be able to go to find out these judges and their value system. So find somebody. There's a lot of different, I think he has some other ballots that are connect you to around the United States, but there's a lot of Family Research Council and mm-hmm. all these groups, that's their gift. That's what they're doing for us. They're going out and they're constantly paying attention to policies, laws, values. And as Americans, and this is a representative government, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And obviously we can't do everything. And so we got to find out who lines up with our value system and who's doing that research for us.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's FIFFamily.org. FIFFamily.org.
You've got to go there to be able to find out what's taking place, because you're fixing to vote in 20 days. Most 50% of the votes in many states are done before election ever happens. Mm. Voting absentee ballots. And I know, for example, in the state of Florida, there is two legal size document size ballots. There's amendments all over it. If you're not doing any research before you go to the polls, I mean, you're going to be, you know, don't just check anything. Don't panic because there's a line behind you. You know, you should do your work. I mean, if as a representative government, listen, we're supposed to be informed. It's going to be a government by the people for the people if we're just sitting back and not getting informed. At least we can do is read the ballot before we go to That's vote. Right. It's two legal-sized papers in the state of Florida. And a lot of times they do that to confuse the people. So you don't, there's something in the midst of all of that somewhere that they're wanting to slide through to overwhelm you with information so you don't even think about, you know, that's where pregnant pig standing up in is considered abuse. In the state of Florida in a constitutional amendment because people just checked it without reading it.
Wow.
And so get informed, you know, be informed, realize a clear decision is being put before us. Once you're informed, read your ballot before you go there. Get your local county or city voting registration office. They have a sample ballot for you. Get that sample ballot, go over it, read it, ask others. Because sometimes they can write it in a way that when you vote yes, you're really voting no. When you vote no, you're voting yes. They do that intentionally. And so, you know, what does it really mean? And find that out. For example, in Florida, there's two things on the ballot in Florida that are value votes. One of them is the government, if this particular amendment is approved, it says the federal government cannot force any Floridian to purchase any federal mandated health care. That solves, if that passes, anybody has an issue with the federal government forcing them to buy health care. There's another particular amendment that's on the Florida a vote coming up that says that the government cannot interfere with people of faith. They can't force people of faith to step outside of their values and their belief and their faith to do something that's contrary to it, including things like abortion and other things. And so, but think about that. You can solve right now every Floridian who is a Christian who says they want to vote their values. It's clearly before you right now because every state has its own constitution. And then you have the Constitution of the United States that the federal government, you know, cannot come in and force their way into your state. That's why they manipulate their way into your state. They, you know, withhold funding and different things like that.
Right.
But once you make a constitutional amendment that you would be violating that citizen's constitutional right in that state, if you voted that they cannot come against your beliefs. We'll be right back. I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but you know, I don't know if you know, Tom Landry, he was a coach for Dallas,
right? The Cowboys.
Cowboys. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, you know, you have all these players, football players, for those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay, so then they want to win the Super Bowl, and so, but he's the coach, and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
To have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Mm.
And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great. I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, mm-hmm. you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, mm-hmm. and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do,
mm-hmm.
what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man mm-hmm. and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come mm-hmm. to pass, would come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan. For free, mm-hmm. and begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks,
right?
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved. Just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them. And you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Yeah, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first? Like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown in their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John and Pat. I want to tell it to you real quick, like, before we get to the wisdom moment. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but now high school in San Antonio, Texas, has put RFID chips on the students.
Like tracking chips?
Yes, yeah, San Antonio, Texas, two San Antonio schools have turned radio frequency identification, RFID technology, to help administrators count and track the whereabouts of the students on the campus. You're sending your kid to school.
Are you serious?
Listen, Texas. You're sending your kid to school, and, you know, for example, Anson Jones Middle School and John Jay High School require you to wear an ID card with an embedded electronic chip similar to what the highway toll booths that you're familiar with up in the Northeast to be able to record the daily attendance. They're putting RFID chips on the kids, and this is how they justify it, and this is, it always ties to money, folks.
Yep.
They say our funding is our funding from the NEA, and this is why you need to abolish the NEA and let all the money stay in the local community. Don't send it to Washington, D.C., and give it to your teachers yourself. Walk down the street and just give your money to your teachers there. And don't send it to D.C. because now their funding is directly tied, of course, to attendance. We've had people, and I've seen teachers or administrators go to jail because they would lie about attendance to be able to keep their budget up and say, you know, these kids were coming to school, but they weren't coming to school. And so the funding's tied to whether they're going to attend or not. So their resolution for that, we just need to embed RFID chips, you know, radio frequency chips that they carry around with them.
Right.
So when they're on campus, we will have a record of them coming or not.
Isn't that amazing? Wow. What is done for money?
What the, totally it's just like, you know,
it's embarrassing.
We are at a point of decision right now. The question is, if you think that Baal is God, if you think government is God, and like we were talking about earlier, that if you think government is God, then you're going to have these kind of technologies because government's not God, and it's going to take computer quantitative computing of people and measuring and tracking people to be able to do somewhat of being able to protect them. That's what's going to happen. When you turn to government as God, they're going to do their best to control people and to manage people and to know where people are and to track them. You cannot turn to a man to be God and expect him not to enact all these systems and mechanisms to try to be your God instead of God being your God. So when you vote and your values, understand that if you vote big government, you're voting that you will eventually have a tracking chip around or on. If your kids got it in high school, you don't think you're going to have it? I mean, they have it already on cars for toll booths. It's just a matter. Your phone's got it. And if we turn to government as God,
right,
the government, it can manage us or God can't manage us. Is that, if that's what we say, don't be surprised if it's not your kid comes home with the own RFID chip for you. And right now, students in San Antonio, Texas, and they're justifying it. And this is you understand that we have a right. And this is our founding documents, and we're not going to be able to keep our Constitution if we don't repent. I think we're going to lose it if the church doesn't repent. So we can't lift the Constitution up over the Word of God. But our rights, we have a right to be free and not to be tracked, and all of our papers and searched, and that we have a right for them not to know where we're at.
Right.
And especially the government, who is supposed to work for you, should not be tracking you. If anything, you should be tracking your government and asking questions like, why did our ambassador die in Libya? Why you are blaming on some YouTube video? You know, that's the things we should be talking about.
That's right.
Because we're supposed to be responsible for that. But not tracking our kids. And so you have the kids that are wearing these name tags. This is... NBC News is reporting this in the Daily News. RFID chips are letting students be tracked and retained for funding. They're retaining them for funding.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. You check out Imprinting India. Go to VFN Torch and check out an article called Imprinting India to see they're doing the same thing all over the world. And what you're looking at, that this whole rise of this beast economy is happening, and we as the church need to wake up and not just click through and go accept, and think that we're not going to end up taking some mark here. Mm-hmm. That all of a sudden now we can't buy or sell because we've done it without reading it.
Right.
We unknowingly have taken it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't heard it yet, you can go to the beast economy. Click here to accept. Because most people just click through without reading anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And as long as it's more money, we're turning to money instead of God. You can't serve them both. You got to make up your mind. Are you going to trust God? Even if you have to get thrown in a fiery furnace, you're going to trust God. But you'll find out when you trust God, he'll meet you in the fire and provide for you. And your clothes won't even smell like smoke. But even if he doesn't, you will meet him in heaven, stand at the throne, and he will be pleased with you that you did not bow the knee to what's taking place.
Amen.
The beast economy. And also look for Johnny Foote's prophetic words available on VFN Torch. Maybe they'll make that related links. But understanding that this is what's kicking in right now. And just separate yourself. And like we did in the earlier segment about, the church, rethinking church, make these connected as well, because the church has to get money right before the world's going to get money right, or America's going to get money right. Well, anyway, today's wisdom moment. And I encourage you to always go every day and try to get one chapter in Proverbs, kind of just listen to it audibly, read it. What's really cool, since there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, that you can maybe the first of the month go to chapter 1, the 10th of the month go to chapter 10, and that kind of keeps you on track. But the wisdom, we need wisdom like anything before. I know that Brother John Kilpatrick out of Church of His Presence has just sent out a letter letting everybody know, a book on wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting to see people talk about, focusing on wisdom now.
Right.
We need wisdom. It's just very, very important. So today's Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12 through 15. That's the proverb for today. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. Think about that. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. From men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. It's powerful, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's what wisdom does. Wisdom is so important. And so, first of all, you think about what's a wicked man?
Mm-hmm.
Normally people would call a wicked man somebody that offends them, but really a wicked man is a sinful man,
mm-hmm.
a man who just chooses to openly walk in sin, an immoral person who chooses to stay in immorality. That it's not somebody that just sins or somebody that does something immoral. That's all of us at some point in time. But the fact is they just decide to just live in it. They just give themselves over to it. And wisdom saves us from sinful and immoral people. If you're concerned about, the wickedness that's taking place in society today, and the darkness that's taking place, and the crazy things that are happening with morality and all that, listen, if you will take wisdom and bring wisdom close to you, wisdom will protect you from all those particular things. It's not, wisdom is not something you put on like a hat. Wisdom is something you apply to your life.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom's like, hey, I got wisdom in my pocket. No, you need to put it in your heart and practice it. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. So when you talk about wisdom, God will speak to you through wisdom about what to do in the case of this wicked man or wicked woman, what they're trying to do, and you act out on what wisdom tells you to do and how to respond to it. Sad to say, in my life, I haven't always used wisdom, but I can tell a difference because I didn't sometimes when I did other times. And there's nothing worse than late wisdom, right? Goodness. So now you can get the wisdom. And then what's perverse words? Because it talks about perverse words. And perverse words are willfully determined or deposited to go counter to what is expected or desired. Perverse word is this. Willfully determined or disposed, not positive, willfully determined or disposed to go counter to what is expected or desired. Contrary. So wisdom saves you and saves us from those who intentionally use their mouths to try and bring harm to you by speaking the opposite of what is true about you, lies, who speak what is contrary to what God says. I mean, this is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to do all these things in the natural to protect yourself and you realize you just need wisdom?
Right.
You need wisdom. Wisdom protects you from those who have left the straight path of walking with God, which means, first of all, that you could have walked with God, but you now have left walking with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because somebody once walked with God doesn't mean they're always walking with God. You know them by their fruit. And don't keep on hanging out in a relationship and going in a direction that somebody's going because one time, way back when, you remember that they talked about Jesus and they walked with Jesus and they had a genuine, authentic encounter with Jesus. And they raised their hands in the sanctuary and they praised God and all these different things going on. It doesn't mean 10 years later that they're walking with God. They could be so far off the path that you couldn't even see it with the Hubble telescope.
Mm.
So wisdom protects us from those who have left the straight path of walking with God. Wisdom protects you from those who walk in darkness too.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Think about thieves and robbers and evil, crooked politicians, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these things that are doing dark deeds and all that, that wisdom saves us. It protects us from those who walk in darkness, who have these evil ways. Don't be fearful. Get faith and get wisdom. Get the wisdom of God. Wisdom saves us from those who delight in doing wrong. There are those people who just love to be evil. They love to do wrong. But you know what? Wisdom, this is what God's wisdom for the moment for today is. Wisdom will protect you from those fools.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom saves you from those who rejoice in perverseness of evil, the ones that just rejoice in it. I mean, it's bad when things are bad,
mm-hmm.
but it's really bad when you see men rejoicing over bad.
Mm.
But wisdom lets you know how to respond to that. And wisdom will protect you in all that foolishness, all that rejoicing in the perverseness of evil, which is off the mark, off the path, and the celebratory attitude of, you know, you're going to party till you go to hell type mm-hmm. attitude.
Right.
That wisdom will save you from that. Wisdom saves you from those whose paths are crooked. What does that mean? Sometimes they're on it, sometimes they're not. Those people are like, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wisdom saves you from those who are on crooked paths. Devious is defined as departing from the most direct way, to deviate from a directness. So wisdom then saves you from those who are devious in their ways, from those who don't do things God's way, who like to change what God says, just like Ahab did.
Right.
Ahab, God's word says Ahab provoked God because he would change the way God does things. And wisdom will protect you from those who continually say, marriage is not this way, family is not this way, fathers are not this way, finances is not this way, the church is not this way, God is not this way. I mean, you know, crooked, crooked, crooked.
Mm-hmm.
But wisdom will protect you from that. Today's wisdom and wisdom moment, Proverbs 2, verse 12 through 15. Wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.